Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
When it comes to sexualizing coworkers in the workplace, our listener Gary says women do it just as much, if not more, than men actually do it. It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. Hot take. For anyone who's seen the TV show Mad Men, I think we could all agree that guys were getting away with a lot in the workplace in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Now, I'm not saying this still doesn't happen, but you still, you know, you still get your occasional scumbag sniffing your hair at the holiday party.
Yeah.
But for our listener, Gary, he wants to share what's been happening at his place of work and why he believes women are worse than men when it comes to this sort of thing. Hi, good morning, Gary.
Hey, hi guys, how are you?
Good, man.
We're good, Gary Bear. What's going on?
So really dive in and tell us what's been going on at work.
Yeah, sure. So I work in a typical office, and I see women all the time, like, fully sexualizing men. And it seems that they do it way more than men do, you know? I mean, as a man, I would absolutely be fired immediately if I did some of the things that these women in my office do.
Have you been with this company for quite some time now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I feel like it's, I see it mostly at this job, but I've seen it at other places as well. Like, I don't think this is a new thing. I think it's just intensified, maybe.
What's going on?
Well, okay, for instance, like, one of the people I work with, and, you know, can't say names, of course, but she was having a sexual relationship in her office with another person that we work with. And, you know, I mean, she got in trouble for it, but not too long after, she got promoted. And the guy got transferred to another department.
Why do you think that is?
That is a really, it's a really good question.
Tell us the tea, Gary. Is this woman married too? Is she having an affair? Tell us everything.
No, I don't think. She wasn't. I mean, she wasn't married, so it wasn't like.
But it doesn't make it right. She was banging in her office, which sometimes it can be exciting to do things like that at work. However,
he's like, not speaking of experience.
Very inappropriate. And she got in trouble for it, as she should. But she got promoted down the line. How long are we talking, though, after she got promoted?
A couple of months, maybe. And nothing, you know, nothing particularly like great happened to the guy. Like I said, he got transferred to another department.
Right.
You know, he didn't get demoted, but he certainly didn't get
promoted.
He didn't get a raise. We'll say that.
Something was raised, but wasn't his salary. I'll tell you that.
And so, have you ever personally been sexualized in the workplace?
I mean, probably.
Well, you know if you have or not, Gary.
I'm a supervisor, so I think that, like, that kind of cuts me off. Like, I think most of the women who say stuff about guys, they're doing it about their, you know, coworkers or not their direct boss. Like, if they're doing it, they've never done it in front of me.
So they're talking, right. They're doing girl talk. They're talking amongst them. Or what some people would call locker room talk.
Exactly. You know, I've heard some raunchy stuff. But, you know, you guys, I'm starting to see it so much. It's like women are just saying, like, the raunchiest stuff about men, not just the guys who work in my office, but just in general. And I'm getting kind of sick of it. It's such a double standard.
I mean, here's the thing, Gare. This is what men have been doing for decades to before and to come. So it's kind of just like, if you can't beat them, join them. You know what I mean? I don't want you to sit there and like be like, I'm a victim, poor me. It's like, this has been happening on the receiving end for women for decades.
Centuries. Probably, decades is...
And sure, I understand that, and I respect that, and I'm not in any way condoning that. But I don't, just because that's what's happened, I don't think that then it all of a sudden should swing the other way, and women should be just as disgusting as men has been in the past.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. If you can approach one of these women that you work with and really give them a piece of your mind, what would you say to them right now?
I'd say, shame on you. Come on. You know, you are being disrespectful, and it is a double standard, and it's just rude, and it's gross, and...
Gary, can I say, you sound like a sweet guy. You sound like a very nice man. What's your, are you in a relationship or what's your status?
Yeah, no, I am.
You are.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something off the record? You know what I mean? Are you just mad because you've never heard any of the girls talk about wanting to jump your bones? You know what I mean?
No, I don't think that's the reason.
I think that might be.
I don't think that's what it is.
Okay.
I just really think the reason is because some women are just really out of line and disrespectful and disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. Shame on some of you, ladies.
Yeah, I can't back you. Okay. I think that women can sit there and say some pretty vulgar things. Yeah, that is what it is. But I think men take action, and that's the difference. So, you know,
at the end of the day, it happens to women and it happens to men. And nobody says it's right, but it definitely is happening. You see it on the daily. And I've been in a couple situations myself that I can remember pretty clearly. I worked with a woman, Breezy, I told you, I worked with a woman in my last company. She sent out a mass email and CC'd everyone. And that's when I was doing shipping and receiving for the skincare company. They're like, hey, Moose, can you send this out? And I sent it out in the first 10 minutes and sent them the shipping label. And she replied back, my boss, with, wow, Moose, you're quick. And then Alice CC'd everyone and goes, he sure is, but hopefully not in everything. Wink, wink. And nobody batted an eye. Nobody said anything about it.
That was a company-wide email?
Yeah, everybody was CC'd on it.
That's why I don't do email.
Yeah. No, it's really tough. All right, listen, Gary, I'm going to let you go, man, but I do appreciate you coming on this morning and sharing what's been going on.
Yeah, well, hey, thank you guys for letting me vent.
You know, no problem, man. Hey, protect yourself. I know you're a supervisor, but just protect yourself. You know, it sounds like you're really in the trenches.
It feels like it, yeah.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Poor Gerber.
We'll talk to you soon, man. Have a great day. Sounds like a good guy. Do you guys agree with what Gary's saying?
I'd
love to hear from you. Do women sexualize men in the workplace just as much as men do or more? A couple texts coming in. One is from Julie who says, my boyfriend works in an office with just women. And he came to me the other week and said he was grossed out because the women were calling beards seat warmers. And I couldn't imagine that would have happened if the roles were reversed and that got reported to HR. This person says, I've been sexual harassed by women on the job more times than I can count, and it got even worse after I got married. Well, you saw the movie Horrible Bosses. I mean, Jennifer Aniston's character in that movie was top-notch.
I mean, again, I'm not trying to say eye for an eye, but like we all lived through the Me Too movement, so.
Well, look, it's terrible when it happens to anybody, both parties. You know, it's never a good thing. Men will never have to go through the amount of harassing women have endured for thousands of years,
period,
said Katrina. Claire says, I work in schools and hear women objectifying dads of the kids all the time. I couldn't imagine ever talking about moms being hot in front of female coworkers or any coworkers for that matter, but it's almost always married women saying that type of stuff. Locker room talk.
Also, here's another thing. I said, you know, women just say it, men take action. Also, I feel as if women are just saying things amongst their friends because they feel like it's a safe place. And
it's probably how some men feel.
No, because they're going right up to them and like sticking their hand up their
skirt. Who's doing that?
I can name like five people off my hand.
Well, that's not all men. All men are going up and sticking their hand up a random woman's skirt. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but not all men have ever. I've never felt I got that idea. I'm going to go and do that. Oh, look, a woman going up the escalator at the mall.
Let me stick my finger up her.
Let me tie a mirror to my sneaker.
Yeah. No, I know. This person says women are so crazy in the workplace. Okay.
All right. We got to take a quick break. We got to go collect ourselves.
No, fully.
It's PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. We'll be right back.
Seems like the city of Rochester took a page out of our book from last week. Rochester City Council approved three major projects, allocating around $4 million in total for said projects. So more than $2 million of the project budget will be set for the renovation of MLK Park Playground, which, I mean, you live super close to MLK Park. I've always been very confused what the big thing in the center is with all the...
Well, they've always...
They look like trapezes to me, if I'm being completely honest.
They've always held a lot of shows there, you know, and I know they do Party in the Park there, which is not underneath...
Right.
Stage, but they used to use it for a lot of stuff. And we still do. I mean, what did we just have there in the wintertime?
Rock Holiday Village.
They do that every year. I mean, the place needs a little bit of an upgrade, though.
Right.
It's old.
So that's $2 million for there. Another $2 million will fund the environmental cleanup in Old High Falls Industrial Park over here. And this preparation is for the big state park project that they're doing right here in High Falls, which is expected to be completed by 2029.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, we just cleaned up all the trash over there, so you guys don't have to come over here. And then additionally, $22,000 is designed for trash cleanup on the city's east end. You can pay me half that and we'll get after it.
Okay. It's not as easy. It's not like Earth Day where we were picking up a couple of, you know, empty Gatorade bottles. This is quite the cleanup.
I'll call Fleeky Maliki. We'll negotiate the pricing. Yeah. But, so, I mean, facelifts coming to our city for the low price of $4 million.
I'm trying to remember what the city looked like before I moved away. And parts of it were trash. It needed a serious facelift. And it's nice to see how beautiful downtown is. I did a nice little walk on Monday when it was so beautiful out. I was like, you know, it is really nice down here. And they're putting in an effort to remodel a couple of these old buildings and turn them into luxury apartment buildings.
Yep.
They're fixing some stuff on Main Street. I mean, the Grove area downtown there, where Bronca and Patron Saint is, that's really pretty down there. Parcel 5. So, I mean, it's nice. I think it's beautiful. You have people that come into our city, and they film the trashiest parts of the city.
Yeah.
And then they put it on TikTok and they're like, look how gross Rochester is.
Right.
You can do that in any city. Any city has pockets of just terrible areas that need a little bit of work.
Correct. But they're doing their part to clean up some of those pockets.
Coming up on the show, Breezy, what happens if we go into a recession?
I know. I mean, I'm no economist by any means, but...
You're an environmentalist.
I am an environmentalist. I keep seeing the word recession all over my TikTok, and I'm not going to lie, it is quite jarring. It's quite scary. What does all of this mean? I think we should talk about it because we also got a message from a listener named Kathy who wants us to talk about it as well. Got to get the facts straight. Got to have an open-ended conversation.
Is this the same owner of Crescent Beach?
No, I think she's in prison. So
I don't think she's in prison.
Soon enough.
Okay, we'll talk about it coming up next. What happens if we go into a recession? It's Peak Sweat Mornings with Moose and Breezy. Let's not scare anyone here.
What is a recession? I think it's good to keep your head on a swivel, right?
Yeah.
It's not fear-monger, but keep your head on a swivel.
Well, it's one thing to be inundated. It's another to be informed, mm-hmm. right? And you want to be informed. I think the last great recession we had here was 2008. Mm-hmm. And that lasted...
like a year.
I think it was like December 2007 to 2009.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we know who to blame for that.
I don't.
Mortgage lenders.
Yeah.
Just dishing out loans to individuals who couldn't afford them.
Right.
Wait, you're... what do you do for a living? You ferment butterflies in your garage and you have three homes? That's incredible.
That's insane. I'm chase your dream, Sally. You know what I mean? But it was crazy because I've been seeing the word and hearing the word recession on my Instagram, on my TikTok, which I mean, if I'm hearing it there, it must be fact, right? But in conjunction with seeing all of that, we also got this message from a listener on Instagram named Kathy. Kathy reached out and said, I understand why everyone is really worried about the tariffs and such, but I'm so confused why no one is talking about the potential economic crisis that could be brewing. Everyone I know claims that we're heading into a recession, and I am a 30-year-old single girl just trying to survive out here. I'm too young to really understand the 2008 financial crisis, given the fact that I was in middle school and doing other things. So if you could bring this up as a topic to your listeners, I'm sure it would really help me and a ton of other people who listen to your show as well. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Well, this isn't a topic I'm going to be really well informed on. But I do know it's a topic that so many people talk about.
Right.
And I'm not really educated on it, but I do know back in the day how scared my parents were.
Right.
When they were going through that recession back in 08. It was a scary time for a lot of people. Is that going to repeat itself? At this point, it's hard to say.
So I tried to look it up to figure out you know, what even is that? I think we all have a general consensus of what a recession is,
mm-hmm.
but I, you know, wanted to be informed and be aware. It's a general period of economic decline characterized by a significant drop in economic activity that lasts longer than a few months. So obviously what happened in 2008 was, like you said, Moose, they were lending out mortgages to people who couldn't afford the mortgages that they were being approved for. So
a lot of people lost their homes.
Right.
Let me get to a call here. PXY, hello.
Moose.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's Toddy. How are you?
Hey, Breezy's dad. What's up, buddy?
Our financial guru.
Well, the economic definition of a recession is two quarters of negative gross domestic product growth, where basically the economy's not growing. So,
sure.
And if the economy's not growing, generally, you know, unemployment rises.
People stop spending.
Yeah.
People lose their jobs. Yeah, business stop. Stocks plummet.
Right. So basically, you know, that's the textbook version of what a recession is, when the economy is not, you know, moving forward. So
sure.
Do you see this taking place though in the next year or so? I mean, do people have
something to worry about?
Well, I mean, you know, most of the pundits, most of the economists think that the we've had great employment for the, you know, ever since the coming out of COVID,
mm-hmm.
we've had great, you know, our unemployment numbers are low. This whole tariff thing could throw the economy into a recession, but and a lot of the experts think that even if it does, it's going to be slight and mild. So, you know, I tend to stay positive. So, I mean, who knows?
You is
know?
There anything good to come out of a recession, though? Like, is it like hitting the reset button, yeah, essentially?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, generally coming out of recession, then, you know, there's four economic cycles. There's a recession, and then there's a rebound, expansion, and I forget the fourth. But basically, you know, I mean, there's been times we've been in recessions that were like, by definition, like people didn't know we were in one. So, but before we even knew we were in a recession, we were out of it and coming, you know, sure. You know, on the backside of it. So,
sure.
So I don't know. It's just
somebody, you know, listening in their 30s, Todd. I mean, what advice, if you have any, what advice would you give someone who just has like a basic checking and savings account?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is having enough emergency funds to get yourself through 3 to 6 months of your essential bills.
Sure.
So, you know, because, you know, even the Great Recession, I mean, it was painful to live through, but I mean, it basically lasted, I mean, you know, from definition, from the end of
2007.
Until like from the stock market hit the bottom in March 17th, 2008.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, I mean, the market just skyrocketed after it. I mean, but nobody believed it for the next year because they're just waiting for another shoe to drop.
Right.
You know?
What does the recession have to do with mortgage rates for people that are in this the trenches when it comes to buying
actually,
a house and
like,
things of that nature?
The government will start actually doing, you know, cutting interest rates to basically boost economic activity. So that, I mean, that could be a positive right there because when the economy's not growing, the Fed chairman will say, okay, we got to cut interest rates to spur economic activity.
Sure.
And usually, one of the best ways to spur economic activity is to cut interest rates to make loans cheaper.
Sure.
And when people are buying more houses, I mean, that is just such a cog in the economy. Because when you buy a house, you got to furnish it. You got to do, you basically, it's just, you know, anything that goes inside a house, you know, you got to buy it.
Right.
It's so important to keep money in your mattress.
You got to do it.
You got to tuck away. You got to tuck away that emergency funding.
The house goes up in flames.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and I bet you most people don't have it. I mean, that's the scary part.
Yeah.
But
most people don't have it, Todd. Especially people in their 30s. If you ask somebody today, how much do you have in your savings account? Statistically speaking, we're talking what, less than 10% of people who have over $2,500 stored away for an emergency?
Right. Yeah, like, I mean, I see that stat periodically, and I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it is pretty scary about that. And I want to be honest with you, you know, I mean, back when I was in my 30s, I probably didn't have that either. But I think the other thing is, and we talk about, you know, the side hustles, but get a side hustle because if you lose your main hustle, then you still get a side hustle to fall back on.
Absolutely.
You know? You need different sources of that stream
of
income.
Yes.
Todd, thanks for calling out, man. We love hearing from you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye, buddy.
All I really took away from that conversation is we might be able to afford a house.
You and your girlfriend?
Everybody.
Yeah,
everybody who's in the trenches. They're like, I just put 17 offers in on one house and I lost every single one of them.
Yeah, that was the conversation I had with a buddy yesterday. He's like, how's the house hunting going?
Yeah.
Like, it's never been more horrible.
Yeah.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. XY.